News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
With us is Green Party former leader and minister Eamon Ryan to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you may not yet have seen. One of the ones, Eamon, that could start hairs running is something that happens today, which is the COVID pandemic review to broadcast an expert debate. This is a round table of experts, including the WHO's Mike Ryan, looking at how Ireland handled the response to COVID.
Yeah, and today, I suppose what's unusual today is that it'll be live. They'll be broadcasting from 10 o'clock on the RT News channel and from 10 to 12:30. And it's a chance, I suppose, to listen in and to hear what these international experts, as well as the likes of Mike Ryan. The COVID review was set up late 24, and it'll publish its report the end of this year, as designed to what lessons, what did we get right, what should we have done differently. It's very broad, wide ranging, obviously, in that. But I think today's the first time they're going public in a live public hearing.
Is there an advantage, do you think, to doing any aspect of it publicly?
Yeah.
Does it make a difference?
I think it does. People have different views about COVID in terms of...
And passionately held views.
Yeah. And so to get transparency and to get real clarity around what is the reality, what actually happened, what were the numbers, what could have been done differently or what could have been done better, I think that transparency is really important.
Can you achieve that without culpability? Because I assume one of the terms of reference has to be that nobody would be pointed at and said that individual or that division failed. Does that allow for real change?
I do think if you look, I mean, the UK went about this a slightly different way. They went to real kind of almost like a court kind of type setting, went on for a long time, was really expensive, barristers everywhere. And did it actually deliver anything that was substantive or anything that would help you in a future pandemic? I'm not too sure if it did. So I think, Professor Anne Scott is obviously got the key responsibility in deciding what her report says, what their report says. But I'm not so sure going down the way that the UK did in a kind of court sitting hearings would necessarily give you a better outcome.
Well, if you want to see that, as Eamon's saying, that's on the RTE News channel online from 10 a.m. Meanwhile, the AGSI are meeting and they're talking about concerns about Garda suspensions, that they believe that should be taken away from the ranks of senior Gardaí, and also concerns about feeling of lack of support from senior management. Interesting case in that context. Garda, in a bike chase, gets a driving ban and a €500 fine. This is a guard that was pursuing two youths on scramblers in an urban environment and found himself banned as a result. Whatever about the individual merits of that case, presumably what that says to every serving member is, don't pursue anybody, it's not worth the candle.
Well, that had been the policy. I mean, the policy over the years, guards were involved in high speed chases. And then there was a policy change to say, no, that actually may endanger other road users, including the guards. And there was a move away from chasing after, be it a car chase or after a scrambler. Commissioner Hugh Harris decided to change that and reintroduce the capability. This is in effect the court saying, I would imagine it's a message to every single Garda. You don't go after a criminal in any sort of high speed chase, because if you do, you're liable to end up in the courts, where in this case, I said you don't want to go into it, the merits of any case. I think the other issue, I suppose, is the one that's really in the public mind is on this, how we police scramblers, how we actually manage with what is a real, if you're not going to chase after, and you can see why that could endanger other people, but at the same time,
But there is precedent for it being done safely. I mean, I know that Durham Constabulary has case in point. They combine guards on enduro bikes and drones, and they have managed to catch an awful lot of people who are in public scrambler use. Surely if youngsters are out in scramblers and they know, should the guards can't chase me, well, why would I stop?
Well, the legislation was changed. I was involved in it back in 2024 to say the guards can follow and trace a vehicle back to its house and have the legal power to go in and seize the vehicle. So, and I think that is...
Difficult to trace it back, though, isn't it?
No, and you get a lot of video evidence. You can show this is the type of vehicle. And if you can prove, as I said, that it was used in a reckless way, then the guards can take the scrambler and should... And I mean, obviously, this is all based on the terrible tragedy up in Finglas where Grace Lynch was killed. I know the minister is looking to strengthen or further improve the legislation if it can be. We do have a real issue. Like, there's a real issue, this masked, not just scramblers, I think also as electric bikes. Sometimes you see young people really fast, really quiet, really dangerous. And we do have to, you can't have people threatened by those sort of, that sort of activities. The guards have to have the powers to make sure that that doesn't become a culture that that is tolerated.
But it sort of already is, though. I mean, the prevalence, if you go through Dublin City Centre, the amount of times that you see young fellas with faces covered, hoods up, on either scramblers or on high-speed electric bikes, it's a constant.
Yeah, not just city centre. I think parks and other areas particularly are a real issue. So it is a real issue. But I said the way to deal with that isn't a guard driving a car at whatever speed through a residential area. It is maybe to use some of those sort of mechanisms where you trace the bike back to its home and then you pick it up.
In other news today, I see your former cabinet colleague Helen McEntee flying to Kiev to show support to Ukraine. Does that kind of thing make a difference? I mean, I can see that it makes a difference if it's a Marco Rubio doing it or a J.D. Vance or maybe a Keir Starmer. Does it make a difference to have the apparent support of a small neutral country?
Well, she's one of many ministers there. It is a Europe-wide kind of commemoration of what had happened at the start of the war, particularly the murder of people in Bucha. I think it is particularly important at the moment. I mean, the real critical thing coming up, we have a Hungarian election the week after next. If that has been holding up the 90 billion euros that Europe wants to give to Ukraine to support it through the next year. And I think European solidarity in that regard is really important. And Ireland's voice, we're one of 27, we're not the biggest, but actually we can be one of those countries, in my experience in the European Council, that people listen and heed what we have to say. So I think it's good, Helen.
Does that actually happen, or is that a way that we flatter ourselves? This thing of punching above our weight, is it objectively the case?
It is for two or three reasons. Firstly, we speak English as a native tongue, so it's easier to, you know, everything's done in English and you have a slight advantage that way. Secondly is, I would always think we place ourselves, we're in a slightly strange position. We're not one of those bigger countries, you know, France, Germany, Italy, Spain. Therefore, not as much, you know, kind of, we can't throw our weight around. We're not as a kind of fancy Dans as the Nordics, you know, who are kind of good at everything. So then those other countries think, oh, well, listen, if Ireland can do it, we can do it too. So we're in that slight kind of mixed space where we're neither small nor big, but we're not the best of everything, but we're not the worst. And actually, I think, yeah, we have a voice that people do listen to.
We're the Goldilocks of international diplomacy.
Not too cool, not too hot.
Finally, before you go, Eamon, interesting study, a Boston University study into happiness, and I suppose it sort of overlaps a little bit with the whole manosphere thing. Happiness and its inverse relationship to machismo.
Yeah. You don't have to prove it. You don't, you know, the real manly thing is yeah, I'm fine with it. I don't need to be kind of pushing it all the time. This the study they've done, it correlates a lack of machismo with general happiness and good quality of life, living longer, healthier, better outcomes.
So countries where you have to act in a macho way tend to be less happy than ones where you don't.
Yes. Now, Ireland ranks 15 in that world index, which is fairly not bad. The one thing I was looking up the index to thinking, Australia, New Zealand and Mexico are all ahead of us. Are they more or less macho than us? Or
I would have thought Australia's more macho than us.
I would have thought it's a lot more macho. So how come they're ahead of us on the happiness index?
We'll have to get into the detail of how they define machismo. Eamon Ryan, thank you very much. That is former Environment Minister and Green Party leader Eamon Ryan. 53106 if you want to get in touch. Up next on News Talk Breakfast, would you pay your parents to mind your child?
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.